Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. It's myself, Raj Giri, alongside with former WWE referee extraordinaire, Jimmy Corderas.
Hello. Hello. And I love that intro. Thank you. Extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire. Yeah. That's what I always call you. And one of our all-time best podcasters, Issa. Issa, how are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Raj. I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk about this show. So much fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, WWE Night of Champions, this, I feel like WWE is just has been on a string of home runs lately with their PLEs. Mm-hmm. And I thought this continued it. This year, they have had just nonstop great PLEs, and this was another. It's hard for me to say PLE, not pay-per-view. But
right.
But yeah, I thought this continued it. Real quick, Issa, first to you, what were your overall thoughts?
I thought it was a fun show. I thought it exceeded expectations, a lot of unexpected moments. I'm excited to talk about it, but overall, a lot of fun. Another great crowd. WWE keeps doing these international shows, and these crowds keep just showing up. Fun overall.
Yeah.
I am okay for the people in the chat asking. I'm okay. We'll talk about the bloodline in a second.
Jimmy?
I don't know what more to add to that. I agree. I thought it was a fun show. There was a little bit of everything, something for everybody, whether it was good in-ring action, some entertaining storylines, some great, you know, character developments and planting seeds.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. There was a bit of everything.
Yeah. I thought WWE storylines had kind of taken a little bit of a dip after WrestleMania, but tonight I thought it definitely brought it back. And yeah. I'm a pretty mellow guy. I'm not the kind of guy that'll yell holy shit while watching wrestling. But when that Jimmy Uso kick to Roman Reigns happened, I jumped out of my seat. My dog she's behind me, but she got worried for a second. She like jumped up and looked at me. I was like, what? You all right? Without further ado, let's start the show. The show opened with Seth Rollins defeating AJ Styles to win the vacant, I guess you could call it, World Heavyweight Championship. It started off, you know, kind of the basic match, but towards the end, Styles went to the apron to hit a phenomenal forearm, but Rollins hit Styles with the super kick. He had been selling his knee. He got hurt with it from a dive to the outside earlier in the match, and then also with a calf crusher. So he attempted a curb stomp, but his knee gave out. Styles went for another calf crusher, but Rollins was able to hit a pedigree and then connected with the stomp to win the title. And afterwards, Triple H came in the ring and presented the World Heavyweight Championship belt to Seth Rollins. I thought this match was just fantastic. I love the story it told with Seth Rollins selling the knee, not able to hit the curb stomp because of his knee. I thought it was just great all around. I'm curious what you guys thought. Jimmy, let's go to you first.
No, I enjoyed it very much. And like you said, it started off, it didn't, you know, you expect sometimes to start off the show, like, let's get into it and go. They took their time. They told a story. They let people get invested. They were a little bit, you could tell that the audience was waiting. And their weight was rewarded with a very, very good, strong opening match. And you know, you talk about storytelling and that sort of thing. It told a great story. You know what I mean? It's great back and forth, you know, between the men. And the crowd got really hot and really into this.
Mm-hmm. Issa?
I really liked it. I mean, what else were we going to expect from Seth and AJ Styles, right? I mean, it was going to be a banger guarantee no matter what. There was a couple of spots where they were ready for what each other had, which I appreciate from people that have studied, you know, that have wrestled each other on multiple occasions and that are just technical masters the way that Seth and AJ are. I love the way that Seth was selling that knee. There was a spot in there in which the referee adjusted the shoulder, which drove me absolutely crazy, and they caught it on 4K. Jimmy, I was live streaming. I was doing a watch along, and I was like, I can't wait to talk to Jimmy about this. He didn't take me out of the match, but we saw it. We caught it, right? And I don't know if that was the right thing to do. I'm not a referee. I mean, I have the right person to ask. But a well-deserved winner. And how did you not get in your feels to see Triple H presenting Seth? You know, it's a throwback, the authority. I mean, Seth and Triple H has gone way back. So it was a nice moment to see. But overall, I mean, what a way to start the show. Jimmy, talk to me about that spot.
Okay, here's the thing. I get it. The roll-up happened, and the shoulder was on top of the leg, so the shoulder was not down, so the referee couldn't count.
Right.
And instead of trying to take his shoulder off the leg and put it down, which is what the referee tried to do, just, you know, motion. Hey, that shoulder's not down. That shoulder.
Right.
Leave it up to the talent, to the guy doing the pin to readjust to get the shoulder down. You're not the one helping him get pinned.
Yeah.
And that's what it looked like. He was helping the pin attempt.
Yeah.
Big mistake. Well,
that's, you know, what I was thinking. I'm like, shouldn't the ref just go like, hey, no, shoulder's not down. Shoulder's not down. But like, they definitely, he just like adjusted him. And I was like, no.
No. And one quick thing too, in going into this match, technically it was babyface versus babyface, which is a tough kind of match to do because you kind of divide the crowd and the crowd kind of gets split on who they want to cheer for. But they were solidly, for the most part, behind Seth. And they did this match very well for what it was. It wasn't like your classic heel versus babyface where, you know, they were anti this guy. And I think they exceeded what they attempted to do with having two babyfaces go head to head.
Yeah. What did you guys think about this match going on first? As it, you know, originally when the lineup was made public or it was leaked, I was like, well, if you want to establish the World Heavyweight Championship as an A title, I think you should start it by going on last. But then the way the show worked out, I can't disagree with how they did it. Issa, to you first.
I think that the opening of a show is just as important as the closing. It's going to be very hard to sell this belt as equal until the person that's carrying it make it matter that way. This is the first champion. This is the first person that we're crowning. And now I need Seth to have an epic ring and make it feel as important. But we're over here celebrating a 1,000-day championship, and that just doesn't happen on normal day wrestling. So I wasn't bothered by it because I feel like now we can see what this belt is going to be. Like, I know we all made fun of it, right? The consolation belt, the bronze prize, but this is when this belt takes off and we see what it can be and what it can become. So I'm not mad at where they put it here. Let's see what Seth can do with it. Let's see if Seth can get it to the end of the show. This is where we go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to your point, you know, about this being a secondary title, when Triple H first was presented the World Heavyweight Championship way back in the day, it was literally Eric Bischoff handing it to him. And that quickly became the A belt. So a lot of, I don't see this becoming the A belt over Roman as long as Roman is champion, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, it's doomed to fail. Jimmy, your thoughts?
No, my thoughts were like everybody else's when this was announced as the opening match. Like they say, the two most important matches on the show is the first match and how you start the show to get people invested and how you end it. And I thought both ends of this, you know, were awesome. And I was kind of questioning. I didn't want to say that, no, they shouldn't go with this first. I was questioning. I said to myself, I'll see what happens at the end. what ends the pay-per-view before I pass judgment. And I think it was the right call to put this on first because it made a great impact early and Seth did a great job later on. I know we're jumping a little ahead here with talking with Byron, making it feel important to him, at least anyways, and him stating that he will be there on Monday night, every Monday night.
Yeah. Starting with this Monday. So I'm going to get a couple of these comments here. might be jumping a little ahead, but Tornado Anthony Y, always great to see you. Hey, Issa, Roman lost. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, since you want to use it, what do you want to talk about? Let's talk about how Cody did today. Why don't we talk about that?
Oh, another
Roman didn't lose, solo lost. Let's get that correct. Thank you.
He should be dealt with for that.
Amen.
George Bartley, seeing Roman's future blow up. Hell yes.
Roman's future looks great to me. I mean, he's still holding his two belts. I don't know why everybody's sweating this.
Yeah.
Roman has to depend on other people to win. That's never a reliable way to go. You don't depend on anybody. You got to get it done yourself.
Right. Yeah. Roman, if anything, this match reminded me, that match reminded me of why he's the best in the business right now. Mm-hmm. Dylan Matthews, this went first because Seth needed to fly back to film, which I've heard that rumor. That makes no sense because it's a 12-hour flight.
They're all catching the same flight. Guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, if he's going to be on Raw, so is he going to go film the Marvel movie for like a few hours? And then
right.
Yeah, literally for like 2 hours and then show up on Monday.
Right. So, no, I don't think so. And plus, they did a interview segment backstage with Seth later. I mean, they could have pre-filmed it, but still, him being on Raw on Monday night, the how long the flight is out of Saudi. Right. I don't think
shout out to Seth and that gear. Absolutely incredible. I love what he wore tonight. I love the gold nails, kind of like a giveaway matching the belt. Beautiful belt. We saw a lot of really smart moves in the ring today. And it started here with AJ Styles taking full advantage of the injured knee and trying to go for that. We saw it later on with Cody and the arm. But I thought there was a lot of really good in-ring awareness today on this show.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, that coat that Seth was wearing, have you guys seen The Fifth Element?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a while. So there are too many rock bumps, so it's hard to remember stuff sometimes.
Chris Tucker basically was wearing that coat.
Yeah.
Not cut off. So I don't know if it was inspired by that or what, but I don't know where Seth gets these coats, but props to him.
Right.
Sridip Sengupta from India saying, hi from India, loved the pay-per-view. Off topic, how do you feel about Double or Nothing? Every match has weapon officially and other matches will use weapons unofficially. Also, two matches have special enforcers, referees, which is kind of the same.
Yeah.
We will cover that tomorrow night. I went from not being retired a month ago to I'm also doing tomorrow's podcast is Issa and Matt Kuhn. But quick early thoughts on Double or Nothing. Jimmy, I'll go to you first on this one.
No, this is one of the issues I have. I get the AEW fans are really into this, but they do a little bit too much repetition on the same show, so to speak. You know, when you do too many weapons matches, the less it means. You know what I mean? Too many of the same sort of finishes and too many ref distractions and that kind of stuff. That's the only thing, but I'm sure, you know, in true AEW fashion, they will be doing their best. Everybody's going to work hard and try and make it as entertaining as possible. Unfortunately, I won't be able to see it live, so I'm going to have to catch it afterwards at some point. Family commitments. What can you do? I want to stay married.
That's always a good thing. Issa?
Yeah. I'm not as particularly excited as I have been for other Double or Nothings in the past. I think there's potential, but yeah, I agree. There's a lot of crazy stipulation matches, even the main event being a fatal four-way, that's still a no DQ, anything can happen kind of match. I don't want to discount anything. You know, I think they can still surprise us, but it feels predictable and it just doesn't feel exciting. But hey, prove me wrong. That's I love watching wrestling and I'd love for them to prove me wrong. But as of right now, my hype level doesn't match what it was last year, to give you an example.
Yeah, I think the build has been underwhelming, especially I think the main event. I don't think anyone expects MJF to lose. I feel like MJF is at that level right now where he needs to be beating the top guys like Omega and, you know, guys like that to really establish him as a top guy. But I think it's going to be a really good pay-per-view. AEW just doesn't have non-entertaining pay-per-views. They're always entertaining. And this pay-per-view really kicks off was going to be one of the most fascinating periods in AEW's history, with the Wembley show coming up and Collision and Punk coming back. So this is the start of what is going to be a really interesting summer. So absolutely. While the pay-per-view itself might not be loaded, I think it's going to be it's starting a fun time.
Yeah, and really quickly, like you said, with that main event with MJF, the four pillars, let's put it that way. Unfortunately, three of the pillars I can't picture right now as being the face of the company. MJF is probably the only one there.
I think, if anything, a couple of them have been exposed during this during this feud as not really belonging in that main event scene. So, but it'll be a great match. It'll be fun. But no, I don't think if they did take the belt off of MJF, it would be a really dumb move. So
I think so.
Yeah. All right. So up next, we had Trish Stratus versus Becky Lynch. I thought the match started off kind of slow and ended up turning into, I thought, a pretty damn good match. Towards the end, I'm sorry, I'm not the best at the blow by blow recap. So I'm just going to kind of give you the endings, and then if you haven't seen it, go watch it. But at the end of the match, Becky Lynch was outside the ring. And then out of nowhere, Zoe Stark came from under the ring, attacked Lynch and hit the Z360. She threw Becky Lynch back in the ring. Stratus hit the Stratus faction for the win. And afterwards, Trish and Zoe celebrated. So I don't know if they're officially linked. It sure did seem that way. But another good match, Trish getting the win. Originally, when I put my predictions on Twitter, I thought Becky was going to win. But right before the match, I was like, nah, I actually see Trish winning this one. And it happened. So good stuff. It gave the rub to Zoe Stark, who I felt like could use it, just kind of being new from NXT. Issa, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling the buildup for this match, if I'm being honest with you. There was something about this feud that wasn't clicking for me. The match itself, I thought, clicked. I thought they were killing it. I thought Trish looked incredible. Becky Lynch was walking and wrestling with a purpose tonight. You could tell there was a little something there that we haven't seen from her. I wasn't a big fan of the finish, just because, again, we were just talking about it with AEW. I kind of knew we were going to get a lot of weird involvement with the main event. So I was like, I don't want to see people helping people all throughout the show, because the main event, we knew. We kind of went into it knowing it was going to be a big soap opera, right? But if somebody's going to get that moment, it should be somebody brand new to the main roster. I think Zoe Starks is super talented, and pairing her with Trish Stratus is a big deal for her. So I'm excited to see where this goes and where the story goes. Becky Lynch's face afterwards, she was bleeding and she posted a picture and her face is all cut up. So I can't wait to see what's next in this field.
Yeah. Jimmy?
No, I enjoyed it. I liked that it started off almost like a brawl. Like it didn't start off as a wrestling match. It looked like the women were really hot at each other and wanted to really get into it. And then it kind of settled down and turned into a very good match between these ladies. And Trish showing even the crowd started saying, you still got it. Even though they were booing her, they appreciated the fact that, you know, hey, she's actually can still go in the ring. And, you know, you questioned about people say, well, it's Trish's time to put younger talent over, like a Becky Lynch. But Becky is already over. She doesn't need that. She doesn't need the rub, so to speak, from Trish. Now, like you said, if Zoe Starks is affiliated with Trish, there's the rub. There's the young talent getting the elevation. And that's where I hope this is leading to. And maybe Zoe Starks realizes that she's being used. And, you know, you never know. Maybe she gets the match against Trish and gets elevated in that fashion.
Yeah, and I don't think the stuff with Trish and Becky is over either. So, but yeah, you know, Trish is kind of a regular right now for the first time since her retirement. So you don't just beat her every time right now. You want the wins over Trish to mean something.
And it was her first singles match in a while. So,
yeah, first singles match.
You kind of protected Becky here with the involvement of Zoe so that you could give, you know, Trish the win. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So
I have to give him props. I'm sorry, Raj. I just wanted to say one more thing. Like, I have to give him props because the match that they followed, as soon as that world title match ended, I'm like, man, I feel bad for who's got to follow this. But they came through. I got into it somewhere like halfway through this match. So props to the ladies.
Yeah, same here. I thought it was a really good match by the end. And then the ending, the involvement in Zoey Stark, I thought it was really well done. And this is kind of one of those pay-per-views where I thought up and down, everything was well done. Even Rhea Ripley beating Natalya in 2 minutes or whatever.
Actually,
it was.
That was perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's. I don't think fans were wanting a competitive match for that. I think you want to see Rhea just destroy people when it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Issa, you froze up there.
Yeah, she's frozen.
You look. Sorry, you froze up there, Issa, for a second. So after that, they aired a video of Mustafa Ali visiting Mecca. And then we went to Gunther and Mustafa Ali. Gunther was in control most of the match, which made sense. He's been a dominant Intercontinental Champion, but it wasn't a squash. Mustafa Ali, I thought, looked great here. I thought this match clicked on all levels. I thought it was a really good match. At the end, Ali hit a super kick and went to the top rope. Gunther dodged, hit the shotgun drop kick in the corner, and then hit the powerbomb to retain the title. Again, I thought really well done. You know, you have Mustafa Ali wrestling in Saudi Arabia, so you don't want to squash him, but you also don't want him to take 70% of the match either. So.
Right.
But and he had the hope spots where he almost felt like maybe he could pull it off. So I thought, great stuff. Issa, what did you think?
I thought it was predictable, but I thought that Ali looked great in defeat. I thought he was a star here. The crowd was behind him. But we know how this was going to end. But it doesn't mean that Gunther can't make a star in the process of it. And this was a great moment for Ali. Can they capitalize on it? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
Jimmy?
True. Yeah, no, for me, the big surprise here was Gunther. Yeah, Mustafa Ali did get that good offense in where there was one point there where they did a great false finish where even you saw the crowd go, oh my goodness, I thought that was it. You know, that see, yeah. We all know that Gunther, however it's pronounced, is a special talent. He could do a lot in the ring, but can he carry a match and make the underdog figure look good in the process of losing? And he did exactly that. He made Mustafa Ali look wonderful in this match. And even though we kind of knew that there is no way he was winning the match, he still came out of it looking pretty good. And that was the goal here.
Yeah. And I think even with the loss, this was probably Ali's highlight so far in WWE, at least definitely on pay-per-view.
Right. No, I agree.
So, all right. So Night One is saying this could be a reboot for Ali if WWE takes him seriously.
Mm-hmm. You see where we go from here. It's all about what you do next.
Andrew Taylor saying Raj driving. I'm not a fan, but Jack Farmer is in Vegas this weekend for Double or Nothing, doing coverage for Wrestling Inc. So I enjoy being on the podcast, but not driving. It's not my thing. But here
we go. Doing wonderful. Don't worry about it.
Thank you, Mike. Mike saying, we miss you, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And Stellar Justin Lopez saying, Gunther hits a year as Intercontinental Champion on June 10th. Only two other men have held the IC title for a year. Macho Man Randy Savage at 414 days and Honky Tonk Man at 454 days. Insane that Honky Tonk Man still holds that record.
Yeah.
But hey, his title reign worked. Macho Man Randy Savage, my favorite of all time. Mm-hmm. Should Gunther beat that record? We got so that's almost 100 more days. So basically 3 more months, a little over 3 months.
See, there's the question there because they've got this 1,000-day reign with Roman Reigns, and now it looks like too much of. Can they surpass so-and-so as the longest champ this thing? I think make it close, but him not beating it. I don't know.
I mean, we'll see if these records get broken, but I love what they're doing with these title reigns. They mean something. And we saw that happen today when a championship changed hands. You just don't expect that anymore, and it means so much more. When Gunther gets pinned, it needs to be a huge moment and it needs to make a star. Whether it happens now or after 455 days, it's what you do with it because you are building historic ranks here.
Yeah. So who would be the guy to beat Gunther? Because kind of to your point, Issa, it shouldn't be someone already established. It should be someone that could use the rub, in my opinion. And that you see could be a star, but isn't quite at that level yet. I'll throw it to you, Issa. You first.
Yeah, I'm thinking now because you have me we're in the Raw. He's on Raw, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think who in the Raw roster, but they haven't really built anybody up as of right now for that. I mean, there's a lot of people on Monday Night Raw that I don't know about getting the rub. Like, you know, Shinsuke right. feels fresh on Monday Night Raw. But that wouldn't be building a new star, as we just mentioned. No. But if you're making the title feel important, it doesn't have to be a new star. It could be a Cody Rhodes on the road back to, like, building his way back up. I mean, there's a lot of people that could do it. I mean, somebody just said Braun Breaker. A call-up wouldn't be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy?
Yeah, it's a tough call because you look at it, who could use the rub? Like Issa said, you look at somebody on there that I think has been underutilized in certain ways is maybe a Ricochet, somebody like that, because mm-hmm. it obviously needs to be a babyface, but then transition into who's the next heel, big heel after that to run with the title. But maybe a Matt Riddle? Somebody like that? I don't know. Matt Riddle seems like a logical choice because he looks like he can withstand the punishment from someone like a Gunther.
Some people in the chat are mentioning, for example, Dominic Mysterio, Damian Priest. I will throw Finn Balor in there because they are doing a lot with Judgment Day right now. I think putting some gold outside of Rhea Ripley will be a great idea for the faction. I mean, they are kind of running Monday Night Raw right now.
Yeah. No, sorry to interrupt you, Raj. I like the idea of Dom as the champ eventually, but it, you know, go into it. Him taking it from a heel.
Yeah. Joseph Boza thinking that they gave Ali too much offense against Gunther. Go ahead, Jimmy. Sorry.
No, I don't. Like I said, it was a good underdog story and they thought they told it very well.
Mm-hmm. There was some period. I think there was one time where he's like climbing to the top rope and just Gunther just chops him right off the. Oh my God. He looked brutal. Like Gunther is a machine right now. And I have fun watching him.
Yeah. I think you want to please the crowd also. And I think a squash wouldn't have done that.
Especially because we're doing one later on too.
Exactly. Right. Exactly mm-hmm. what I was going to say. Thank you.
Yep. Joseph Boza again bringing up Gunther is two weeks short of one calendar year. Dylan Matthews saying Gunther should break Honky Tonk Man's record. Martin Kanyinji saying Roger Wright Gunther is a better name as opposed to Walter. What do you guys think about that? I feel like if he originally started as a Gunther and then went to Walter, people would be like, that name sucks. What are you doing? So, Jimmy, I'll go to you first.
I'm just not a big fan of changing the name from NXT to when they get called up, because if you're a WWE fan, you see that and that bothers you. Do you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And maybe there are fans out there that watch Raw or watch SmackDown and don't watch NXT and say, oh.
They did start calling him Gunther while he was still in NXT, but he didn't last very much longer in NXT after they called him Gunther. But he did get a couple of weeks as Gunther in NXT.
True. Very fair point. But still, you know, hey.
I just thought it was funny because we kind of like adjusted to it and we're just saying it and he just like makes the banter and how crazy the internet went just looks so ridiculous now, you know?
You know, champagne problems when we're
arguing. I like both names, but I adjusted to Gunther. I think Gunther sounds badass, honestly.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think if you were to, if you had no attachment to either name, you heard both right off the bat, I think. Right. Gunther is a way tougher name.
Gunther.
And David Lane saying Gunther should face Honky Tonk for the record. As far as I know, Honky Tonk's healthy, so I'm sure he could come out for one more match.
Can Gunther handle the shake, rattle, and roll?
I don't know. Mm. That's true.
or the hairstyle. Car shots.
All right. So after this, we had Asuka. Asuka defeating Bianca Belair, I would say, to win the Raw Women's Championship. This was one when I put out my predictions. This was the one I was like, I could see Asuka winning here as an upset, and it happened. Really, the match itself, I felt like they weren't on the same page for a lot of it. And the crowd was kind of, I think after the hot start with the two matches, they were a little quiet for this match. But at the end, Asuka, and I thought this finish was super creative. Asuka took that miss, spit it in her own hands. And when the referee was distracted, then Bianca went to get Asuka, and then Asuka rubbed it in Bianca's eyes. And then she hit a kick and won the championship, ending Bianca's, you know, record title reign. I thought it was great stuff at the end. A huge shock to a lot of people. Issa, I'll go to you first. What were your thoughts?
Wait, Jimmy's dying to say something.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Jimmy, you first. I went to Issa first last time, I think.
No, because I don't mean to correct you, but you say the referee was distracted. The referee wasn't distracted. She was walking behind.
Right.
Doing her, it was in the process of, you know, her natural motion where, you know, Asuka reached around with her fingers full of the mist. And kind of raked or rubbed it into Bianca's eyes. And like you said, very creative, very different. I don't know if that's been ever been done before. If it has, I don't remember it, but that's for sure. But I thought it was very creative, and it was an inventive way to get the title off of Bianca without really hurting her much. And again, not putting the heat on the referee. It puts the heat on Asuka where it belongs.
Mm. And by distracted, I meant he just didn't see
it. I know, but I don't want people who in case they didn't see it, to think that there was a referee distraction since we already got those in.
Right.
Yeah.
Issa, your thoughts?
Oh, man. I was speechless. It was, like, really funny because you guys know I do watch alone, so I watch this live. And somebody, that's when it hit me. I went into this certain that Bianca was winning, right? Because I'm like, okay, they already lost at WrestleMania. And I even said, I'm like, okay, well, just give her Asuka again instead of sacrificing somebody new, right? That was my train of thought going into this. And somebody in my chat said, well, where do we go with Asuka if she loses? And that's when I was like, God, you can't go anywhere with her if she loses here. She kind of has to win. That's when my mentality started going, oh my God. And what we were just mentioning with Gunther, I was happy. I mean, Asuka is never the wrong choice ever. I was so happy, but I was so speechless. They're making these title rings mean something. And when that pin happens, you have those holy crap moments. And I will say, I don't want a heel turn for Bianca. I think Bianca is killing it with the representation, the baby face, and everything that she does. I do think we need to see some layers. And Bianca chasing after being so dominant for so long is a story that I can get behind. It revitalized Asuka. The match, yeah, like you said, not perfect, but I just didn't mind it because he had a shocking finish that everybody's going to remember. And I love the camera work with that finish because, like you said, Jimmy, it wasn't cheating. The ref just didn't see it. She was positioned in a way where she couldn't see what was going on. It was beautifully shot where you're like, oh, no, it's going to that's I automatically went into shock mode. Like, oh, my God, they're really going to do it. Super happy for Asuka. I just hope that this isn't a transition thing and she's able to, like, have a significant reign here.
Right. And really quickly, like you said, the way it was shot, and that's one of the things that WWE does well, is if they have a finish like this, they go to the people in the truck and say, hey, when this comes up, here's what we would like to see on TV. You know, so they do communicate with the directors and all that sort of thing. So they do that very well.
It's amazing how the production of it will, like, play with your feelings, right? Because you're seeing it all play out. When it's executed to perfection, it's beautifully because you're, like, seeing the ref is not seeing it. You're seeing what Asuka's doing. You're feeling like, oh, my God, Bianca's about to lose this title. Everything just by getting the right camera angle. You love to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was great stuff. Phoebe saying no one is ready for Asuka.
Oh, Bianca wasn't.
Yeah, right. Ricky Zaldivar saying that was a shock. Same thing as Stellar Justin Lopez, surprise of the afternoon.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Jeroy J saying he loved the finish. I did too. Mm-hmm. Joseph Boza bringing up Kana is now a 4-time women's champion. Joseph Boza noting that it was a 420-day reign for Bianca Belair, which is, you know, there's a lot of, I've heard some people criticize WWE having these long title reigns for people. But I feel like Asuka winning that title was such a shock because it was a long title reign, and it helps her right off the bat. When you just have the, even the secondary titles, if you don't, if you have like the Intercontinental title, if it was just changing hands all the time, it wouldn't mean anything. So by having these longer reigns, it makes those title matches mean something, and it elevates whoever beats the champion.
Mm-hmm. And speaking, we talked about it with Seth and AJ about them, you know, they wrestled each other. They were ready for what each other had. I love that Asuka changed her strategy here with The Miz and what she did. Because a lot of people are like, well, why not do it at WrestleMania? Well, guess what? Asuka learned from WrestleMania. Asuka came back different. The one thing that they were trying to sell you on commentary for the last week, 2 weeks, is like, oh, this is a different Asuka. She actually proved that in the match by doing something completely different to get one over on Bianca. And like I said, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I do think that this will add a layer without having to turn Bianca heel. Now we get to see her shades. Now we get to see a different version of babyface Bianca, because I don't think that Bianca should turn heel. I don't.
No, well, for sure. And Asuka feels like a totally different character than she did, you know, years ago. So great stuff. I thought, again, baby icing. Asuka winning justice for WrestleMania. Night one saying Asuka with the finger poke of doom. Joseph Bozo, great point. First time a singles women's championship has changed hands in the Middle East. I mean, when these PLE started in Saudi Arabia, they didn't even have women on the first card.
They didn't allow women to travel.
Right.
The first Saudi Arabia pay-per-view. If you go back, I don't want to. I'm not going back to look at it, but I remember the crowd was completely different. We had couches with all kinds of people that were uninterested in the front.
No heat.
It's crazy how far we've come. This is no longer a certified house, like a glorified house show. That's what the first one felt like, and you felt weird watching it. Now you're seeing they're creating all of these moments. Not just, we had three women's matches and it felt normal. We used to not even allow the women to travel with them. Like, how crazy is that, right? Now we're seeing title change. We're seeing matches that matter. We're seeing storylines advance and progress in the Middle East. It's great. I think the last few events that they've done in Saudi Arabia, I'll say it, they're killing it. Look at the moments they created for Ali. That Sami Zayn entrance. If you didn't tear up for that, right? They're creating moments here, and the fans, and seeing these fans go crazy to see their favorites, that's what matters. The kids, man, it's all about the kids.
Yeah, they're really into it, and they got you saw it with all the entrances, like with Seth's entrance, with Cody's entrance, with everybody's entrance. They are watching the product. They are into it. They are bought in. They are invested, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into the whole politics or anything. The shows are definitely 100% different than they were back then. The crowds sucked back then.
Yeah,
Now they're. I mean, this was one of the best crowds. You know, nothing's going to top that Backlash Puerto Rico crowd. But was one of the best.
This is one of the standard. I get it.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this later. But the crowd reactions for the WWE PLEs this year, by them doing more international events, but also Rumble and WrestleMania, have been. It's the best string so far this year that I've seen since probably the Attitude Era. I mean, just hot crowds every time. Next up, we had Rhea Ripley versus Natalya. Dominic Mysterio taunted Natalya right off the bat, and then Rhea Ripley attacked her from behind and pretty much just hit the Riptide for the win. I don't know if it quite lasted a minute. It might have been a little longer, but you know, it just made Rhea Ripley look like a badass. I don't know if a long match, even though Natalya is one of the best women's wrestler, in my opinion, in history, not just now. But I just felt like where Rhea is at right now, I thought this worked perfectly. Jimmy, I'll go to you first. What'd you think?
No, I thought it was fine. You know, at first you think, oh no, you can't squash someone like Natalya. But at the same time, she's kind of untouchable at this point right now.
Oh, yeah.
You can't hurt her in the eyes of the fans. And this being a quick match like it was, yes, there was that little bit of interference, that distraction there by Dom, which caused this. The only thing I would have done different from a presentation standpoint is, you know, they rang the bell when they weren't facing each other, if you know what I mean. It's a tiny little thing, and people go, oh, stop nitpicking. I get it. It's a little thing, but at the same time, it would have been cool that as soon as Dom dropped down and she turned around, there it was, bam, instead of from behind and ring the bell there. That's just a minor little detail, but at the same time, I don't think it really hurt this otherwise. It served its purpose. Rhea's over, like, oh my goodness, she's a badass. And Natalya untouchable right now. So
Yeah, Natalya, surefire Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Again, one of the greatest, and in my opinion, in a lot of ways, one the greatest as far as longevity and doing a full time schedule for so long. I mean, she's been amazing. Issa, mm-hmm. What'd you think?
Rhea Ripley has it all over it. Oozes it. I mean, my God, she's everything, and she's what, 25 years old. I mean, we have a lot left of Rhea Ripley, and I love that she's getting this built now because her first title reign didn't feel like it was just like, you know, I didn't like the way that it went down. That being said, I don't understand why people are criticizing this. It was Natalia's birthday. Rhea Ripley did her a favor here. She could have punished her for 10, 15 minutes, but no, she's like, let's end this fast. I'm not going to make you suffer so you can still go and enjoy your birthday. Rhea Ripley for president.
How crazy is Triple H Rhea Ripley versus Vince McMahon Rhea Ripley? You know, like, she feels like just a totally different level of star now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you know, she, you could see it, that she had it. It's just a way of presenting it. And it felt like you were under Vince, you were waiting for it and mm-hmm. waiting for it and waiting for it. And Triple H is like, okay, it's time to put it out there.
Mm-hmm. She's had it, since the NXT UK days, you know, and I don't know what it is. There's just something. We all talk about it, right? We call it the it, but what else are you going to call it? But she's always had it. But like ever since joining the Judgment Day, everything just switched. And it's just been incredible to watch. And what she's done for Dominic Mysterio. Let's not forget about that. I think the pairing of Dom with Rhea has really, really done wonders. And she's a big part of why Judgment Day is working right now.
It's been amazing. If you told me a year ago that Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio were going to get paired up, it'd be like, what? I can't see that chemistry ever working, but it's been awesome. Dominic is also one of those guys that's quickly went from turning off the TV to must-see TV. He's mm-hmm. just been fantastic in this role. Mm-hmm. Larry pointing out it was 69 seconds. Tornado mm-hmm. Anthony Y thinking they did Natty Dirty. We kind of covered that. One thing, I walked into my kitchen to take food out of the oven and the match was over. It's the same thing as Justin Lopez.
Well, at least he remembered what he went to the kitchen for, because sometimes I go from my TV to the kitchen and by the time I get there, it's like, what did I come down here for?
Right.
I wasn't done drooling over Rhea, and then next thing you know, the match was over. I'm like, what is mm-hmm. happening? Come on.
You're right. So there's some controversy over if it's 69 seconds or 70 seconds.
Right.
But that doesn't really matter. Terry Allen Jr. saying, during matches, sometimes the camera should rotate the ring for a fun view. WWE needs fresh camera angles and respect towards Mustafa. There was this thing that they did in Puerto Rico. I don't know if they've been doing it since. I haven't noticed
it. Drone. But
the drone. I thought that was one of the coolest things I've seen recently.
Loud-ass drone. If you were in the building, you could hear it coming your way. Like, it was a very loud.
Oh, really?
Drone. Yeah. You'll hear this. You're like, what? We all went under attack? No, it was just the drone going by.
not as bad as two fighter jets flying over the ring at the Tribute to the Troops without people, without them telling you it's going to happen.
Oh, God.
Because I was in the ring reffing the match between Chris and Eddie during the Tribute to the Troops when we were in Iraq. And all of a sudden we stopped and kind of looked at each other and everybody went, what is going on here? Do we dive under the ring? And then I'm getting on my IFB. I'm getting, it's okay. This was planned. We didn't tell anybody. We wanted natural reactions from you. Well, you got them.
Yeah. They're lucky you guys can be like, all right, forget this. We're out.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So up next, we had Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes. And it's funny, before this match, I was like, this should be like Lesnar versus Cena at SummerSlam, just Lesnar destroying him, because a one-armed man shouldn't have a shot against Brock Lesnar. But Cody,
did you feel that way when he was wrestling with one arm against Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell?
Seth is different than Brock.
Just saying.
I think Cody was able to use both as opposed to being in a cast. But I felt like for this, I didn't think so, but then the way they did the match, I thought was perfect, and it worked beautifully. Mm-hmm. Cody using the cast as a weapon. I'm sorry, what's that, Issa?
I said he sheet it. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I don't know if it was no DQ or what, but It was allowed. Right. And the announcers did a good job pointing out his titanium cast. So Brock sold beautifully. So it wasn't a one-sided squash. Cody got in his offense. At the end, Cody got on the Kimura. He got it on earlier, but Cody was able to make the ropes. And it was great drama with Cody making the ropes. And then finally, at the end, Lesnar went for an F5. Cody hit the crossroads for a two count. Cody attacked Lesnar with the cast again, but Lesnar hit the F5, only a two count. Cody kicked out. Then Lesnar latched on the Kimura again. And this time Cody didn't tap. He passed out. And so, and then Lesnar held on to it after the match was called. Great stuff. I thought this match was just fantastic. I love Brock Lesnar matches. You never know what you're going to get. It could be a 10-second squash. It could be 5 minutes of just big moves, or it could be something like this, just filled with drama. And I thought this match was just fantastic. Issa, I'll go to your first. What did you think of this match?
I really enjoyed it. I wanted Brock to win here. A couple of things. It's like I'm never going to get tired of Cody giving the belt to a kid ringside every time he comes out. It always tugs at my heartstrings just to see the kid's reaction. I loved, and this is weird, right? Because we know Cody's a baby face, but he's using the titanium, A. B, in Puerto Rico, he attacked Brock before the belt rang. Brock didn't do that. Brock just showed. He was just smiling at Cody, like, come at me, bro, you know? No. All right. Yeah, it was a lot of really good in-ring psychology. I just didn't understand. I guess Jimmy can answer my question. Is the cast part of his gear? Is it considered part of his attire? And that's why this wasn't like a disqualification. Are we going to have a rubber match here? Because I would like to see a fair and square match between these two guys at this point, right? Because I feel like there's always been one up the other. Cody outsmarted him on the first match here in Puerto Rico. Now, Brock kind of took advantage of the injury. So are we going to get a healthy both of them rubber match? I don't know if that's where we're going, but I would like to see it.
Jimmy?
No, I hear you. And as far as the cast goes, see, that's the tough part. It's there because in storyline, the arm is broken, and it is a protective device used so he can participate in the match. At the same time, it's wrapped. You know, it's kind of one of those borderline iffy things. But in this case, it worked because it is a monster beast like Brock Lesnar. So you, Cody going into the match with a broken arm, you got to give him something, right? So in this case, I think it kind of worked, but at the same time, you can question it. And even Brock, let's say, for example, he was going to use the titanium cast to beat Brock with, then Brock has kind of an out as well. But for him to survive the beating with the titanium ecto cast or whatever they called it, and, you know, the crossroads and kicking out of the crossroads and stuff like that, Brock looked like the beast he is. And Cody looked pretty good, too, going into it, surviving as long as he did. You know, like you said, Raj, you know, with the Kimura on until he made it to the ropes. And then the second one, he even kicked out of an F5. So he didn't get pinned. He didn't submit. He passed out. Yeah. So, you know, Cody kind of showing some balls, so to speak. But in a losing effort, it worked. And makes you look forward to a rubber match.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's where they're headed. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Issa.
I was just going to ask you guys your opinion, because I personally thought it's like there's no recreating what happened with Cody at Hell in a Cell, right? So it was such an organic moment. It was insane. I'll never forget it, right? It's one of those wrestling moments that you go, I'm never going to forget when Cody freaking wrestled with a torn pec. So doing the injury angle here, kayfabe, just didn't feel right. I was waiting for it somehow. Like, this is what I was waiting for this cast to be rippable and for Brock to rip it off of him and like put him in the Kimura with the broken bare arm, and that's how Brock gets him to pass out. I think that would have been more effective, and I thought that's what we were playing into this, because it wasn't, you're never gonna match that moment ever again. I don't understand why you would even try to touch it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Lesnar can't tear titanium though.
Okay, but no. Don't say it's titanium.
Yeah.
You could have just wrapped it. You could have just done something that looks like it could be ripped. It's a fake broken arm. You could have done whatever you wanted. You know what I mean? I think that would have looked, if you want to get that kind of like sympathize people, love Cody still, I think that would have been more effective than trying to recreate, like, Cody's going to do it with a broken arm. No, he already did it with a torn pec. Let's not try to recreate that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do agree with you. I felt like they were going to the well too quickly.
And if The Rock can freaking break a cast with his arm in Fast and the Furious, Brock can make it happen here.
Yeah, Rock flexed, right, to break it.
it's too bad the cast wasn't like a regular cast that if you smash it against something, it can break. And during the match, Brock breaks it off and then hits that Kimura and you get the pass out.
And you get him to pass out. I just think that would have been so... I'm not criticizing it. We all agree that we like the match, but that would have been so much more effective if we were going to go with the he's going to pass out and not tap, you know, baby face thing.
Right.
I got to admit, the visual of Brock tearing the cast open.
Would be really so good. Cool. They missed opportunity, WWE. Yeah. Call me creative. Yeah. Please.
Come on, guys. Get Issa on board.
There you go.
But overall, you know, one thing I thought too was Brock's selling, I thought was just amazing. I think people forget that Brock can just sell. And when he's getting hit by the cast, it looks real. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's really getting hurt and he's out of it. Brock is just. Yeah. Sometimes he doesn't get the credit for selling and things like that. And he is
one of the best sellers. You want to know when you're a good seller? When people don't point it out. If people are pointing out that you're a good seller, then are you a good seller?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Yeah.
But man, with the way that he throws people around, like, my God, I hope people are just prepared. I'm assuming they go into this match like, God, let me land the right way because he just tosses them.
Yeah, he's awesome. Night one pointing out that they like your idea.
It would have been epic.
Okay. Yeah. RJ Krasinski is asking, hey guys, does this loss hurt Cody short and or long term?
No, I don't think so because he went into the match with the broken, quote unquote, broken arm, which gave them the out, gave him, you know, a way to get through this match without him having to, he didn't get pinned. He didn't submit. He refused to submit. You know, so I don't think so, RJ.
I think he does. I think he does. He should have not gone into the match injured. And he got the opportunity by everybody that talked to him. As a matter of fact, at the end of Monday Night Raw, I felt like Triple H was saying, all right, bro, do you get hurt. I don't care. Because they tried to, like, talk to him about this, you know. But it does... We'll rebuild here. We'll see if we go to a rubber match or what we do with Cody now.
Did somebody put on Twitter out there something about maybe Triple H has a hand in this?
I mentioned it. That if the reason why we haven't gotten a motive for Brock, why Brock attacked Cody in the Cody in the first place is because all this time Triple H has been behind it. And, I guess others have floated that idea to people when people mentioned that, but that would be, you know, look, I'm not a big fan of authority storylines, but it's been so long since Triple H has been involved. He still has that presence and him and Cody have that thing that, you know, the inside wrestling fans know. So I think it would be a fascinating storyline to have Triple H be the one.
Don't mess with the throne.
I mean, think about it. And he crowned Seth over here. It would be, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alonzo Smith is asking, why does Cody get to wrestle injured? Let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story.
But it's true.
It is. Because they talk about not being cleared and stuff like that. So I don't know how you get cleared to wrestle with one arm. All right. So... Up next, main event time.
Oh, my God.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. Roman Reigns, obviously, superstar entrance. His entrance music always reminds me of the theme of Succession. As soon as it hits, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Succession finale is tomorrow night. Roman and Solo coming out. Sami and KO next. Sami with just an insane pop. This was like... Montreal all over again. Fans were going nuts. Fans were just hot for this whole match. I mean, I think it was probably like 10 minutes from when they started the ring entrances to before anyone touched, maybe even longer. But it was a fantastic 10 minutes of just crowds going nuts. Roman's looking like a prick. Sammy's, you know, Paul Heyman did the ring introductions for Roman and Solo, and then Sammy did their ring introduces in Arabic. And the fans just ate it up. Roman's looking all smug. He's being a total prick. It was just fantastic television, I thought, even before they even touched. Let's start there before we even get into the match. Your thoughts on just the heat for this match. And Jimmy, I'd like to ask you, what was the most heated match you've ever refereed?
Wow. The most heated match. That's a tough one to pick, because I've been in, been blessed to be in the ring with some of the guys with Taker, Hogan. I even got to do a match with Piper and Hogan when Hogan was Mr. America and stuff like that. And it was just incredible listening to the people with these two legends in the ring and them not having to do anything, you know. But the one that I remember the most not being in the ring for, obviously, WrestleMania 18, Hogan and Rock, right, here in Toronto at the Sky Dome, was just incredible. And it almost felt, I don't want to compare it to that, but it almost felt that way with what we got tonight, because, you know, again, there they are, you know, manipulating the crowd, but not doing any touching, not interacting. Mm-hmm. And they had them in the palm of their hands from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Issa?
Yeah, I loved it. And I thought it felt special for everybody. Like when Roman came out, you could see the fans holding on the 1,000 days sign. Sammy coming out, it was emotional. You knew it was going to be emotional. There's a reason why we put this last. I was very excited, and it makes the match mean that much more immediately.
Jimmy, I want you to think about it. The most heat in a match you've called. And we'll come back to it, but just kind of think about it. And I'm also curious, like, does it hurt when, I mean, hurt is maybe a strong word, but does it affect being able to hear, you know, what they're telling you in the back when the crowd is so loud? Because this was one of those, the crowd was just going nuts. So we had the match. And I think, you know, I had tweeted out that I expected the end to come. The Usos interference backfires, and then we see Sammy pin Solo. But what we saw was, you know, Roman get in the Usos' face because they accidentally double super kicked Solo. Roman's getting in their face, and then Jimmy super kicks Roman, which just, that was my holy shit. Jumped up. I was like, what? And then Jimmy and Jay are arguing back and forth, and Jimmy kicks Roman again. Just fantastic stuff. And they left the ring. Sami Zayn pins Solo, gets the win. The fan reaction, everything. This was just fantastic television, I thought. Issa, everyone wants to hear your opinion on this. So let's go to you first.
Look, before I get into the soap opera aspect of this, I just want to point out that at one point, Roman speared the referee by accident. And when the referee is knocked out, he gets up and says, "What's wrong with this guy?" I died laughing. I'm like, "You just spear him, bro. That's what's wrong with him." It's amazing. The in-ring awareness, the trash talking that Roman Reigns does, the way that he pans out to the audience. Like, you can see him feeling in which direction he needs to go and what he's doing. I mean, there's a reason why he's like up here above everybody in the industry right now. That being said, I thought this was so perfectly well done, because the Usos showed up bloodline strong. We started with the Usos bloodline strong. And I said it in last night's podcast, and I will repeat it again. Jimmy never became bloodline strong because of Roman. He gave in. Remember, we had nobody's bitch Jimmy, right, with the shirt and everything. He gave in because he wanted to save Jey Uso from getting his ass beat by Roman Reigns, because if he couldn't get Jimmy to fall in line, Roman was going to take it out on Jey. And this is the reason why Jimmy became bloodline strong. Jimmy was never here for Roman. He was here for Jey. And another thing that they did very well is they leave us hanging with Jey again. They did it when Sammy turned. They did it again tonight, where Jey also needs therapy after this bloodline storyline is over, because he's going through it. But Jey is trying to process everything going on, and we still don't know where he's at with things, right? But, I mean, I thought this was so excellently done. I was here for it. I don't know how I feel about Roman not seeing that this double kick on Solo was accidental, but I'm not sure that we needed it. I think he was annoyed that they showed up regardless because he wanted to get it done on his own with Solo, right? That's the story that they're going to try to tell us. Solo takes the pin here. I know what a lot of people are going to try to say, but if we're going to go down that route, then Sami Zayn lost a match with Roman Reigns against John Cena and Kevin Owens. So the last time that Roman lost a match, it was Sami who costed him that match. Thank you very much. Just pointing that out for all of you guys. Listen, the Bloodline. This is a storyline that's going for, what, almost 3 years? And it is still this relevant. It is still main eventing. It still has crowds going crazy. You have to give them all of the props, all of the flowers to everybody that has been involved, making this for 3 years now still feel like a fresh story. And now it feels even fresher than ever. I don't know what to expect on Friday, but you know we're tuning in. It's great.
Yeah. Jimmy?
I don't know what more to add to that. That was well laid out. And it's a great story because, as you said, there's these little twists and turns where you think it's going to be Jay, the one that kind of is going to dismantle, for lack of a better term, the Bloodline. And they're trying to get him to fall back in line. Jimmy looked like he was trying to draw him back in line. But Jimmy is the one who, you know, has had enough, so to speak, of the head of the table. So I like the little twists and turns. And the big question mark here is Solo, because everybody says, you know, well, Solo's lining up with Roman and he's going to be Roman's heavy. But is he? Because, you know, technically he's their brother.
Yeah.
You know, do you align yourself with a brother? Or do you align yourself with cousin Roman? You know what I mean? It's now creating some animosity in the family and you don't know which way, you know, sometimes you see these stories and they're very predictable and you say, wow, I can see so-and-so going with so-and-so and this is going to happen. And then you're going to, this one here has got you legitimately going, okay, which one is going to be the one to actually, well, Jimmy tonight was the one who threw the super kicks, but, and Jay seemed the one who tried to calm him down. Who knows? Maybe next time Jay is the one who takes out Solo or something like that. I don't know. They've got me wanting to see what happens next. And that's what you want to tune in for. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought since WrestleMania, the Bloodline storyline had been getting a little stale. And I do feel like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn need to move on and move out of the storyline. But
right.
Today just brought it back, the event. I mean, you know, with the show, it just, the Bloodline, again, it's just jolted you right back into it. And it's like, okay, where do they go? I'm assuming they're going to go Roman and Solo against the Usos.
Yeah, the implosion of the Bloodline will buy you a million main events. Not a million, but you can main event the next 5-6 pay-per-views, regardless of how you do it. Like you said, you can do the tag. You can do the tag one, you know, Solo and Roman against the Usos. Eventually, you can have a fatal four-way between all of them. We never got Roman and Jimmy one-on-one. Roman and Jay, still one of my favorite storylines in the 1,000-day reign. We can revisit it anytime because we got it during the Thunderdome. It deserves fans. So there's so many things that you can do with the implosion of the Bloodline. It can main event pay-per-views to the end of the year, honestly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Quick question, though. Do you think Roman needs to be champion for this? Should Cody have won at WrestleMania?
Roman needs to be champion forever. Yeah. Yes.
Well, not forever, but until it's during
until
this.
Until he retires. Until he retires, know? Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to fight with Issa here, but.
I still think Cody should have won. And you know me. I thought Roman should have won against Drew. Roman should have won against Sammy when so many others were saying, oh, but Drew, it's Europe. And Sammy, it's his hometown. But Cody versus Brock, this feud, I think, would be so much bigger with that world title.
You don't think that the person that on dethrones Roman Reigns being from the Bloodline is a lot more meaningful than Cody wasn't here for a whole year, now he's going to dethrone the champion story that you're trying to tell us? Yeah, I think somebody from the Bloodline, Solo, Jimmy, Jay, any of them, dethroning Roman would be absolutely epic. Or Seth Rollins, because he's never beaten Roman. But, like, I think it happening from
No, it's within, the other way.
I think it happening from within the Bloodline, I think that will be incredible storytelling. Mm. Whether it's Jimmy, Jay, I mean, I think that makes more sense.
Seth has beaten Roman. Roman has never beaten
Seth. No, that's
Seth
what I meant. That's what I meant. Like, if he's outside of the Bloodline, it should be Seth. It shouldn't be Cody.
Mm. Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Mm. That's all I'll say is interesting. Yeah.
I have to think about that one because then you talk about if it's somebody from the Bloodline who dethrones Roman.
Yeah.
You know, who should it be? Is it Jay or Jimmy or even Solo? And then does Cody defeat them for the title? And Roman says, you never defeated me for that title. I got robbed by, you know what I mean? And I don't know. You can add layers to it. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Solo is very well protected. But if he won the title, could he cut the kind of promos
that's the thing
is expected of a top guy? Maybe he could. We just haven't seen it. They like him being that silent assassin, because we know Jay and Jimmy can. They're fantastic mm-hmm. on the mic.
Right. So, right. And of course, Roman, too. But...
Yeah. Roman's just, you know, right. I was saying this when he came out and when he was, when the match started and they didn't touch for a long time. Mm-hmm. Roman has that, what Hulk Hogan used to do and what John Cena used to do, where you just let the fans react and go with it and soak it in, as opposed to just being like, all right, let's start, you know. And I think he's the best at it right now.
Nice. No, can't argue there.
J.S. Jenkins with the 220 super chat, Canadian. Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you, J.S. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, does Solo's gimmick not remind you of Virgil?
No, it does not. Because Solo is like Raj referred to him earlier, the silent assassin, whereas Virgil kind of looked very beatable. Let's put it that way.
I used to think Virgil looked like the silent assassin. And then he had a TV match on Superstars with Macho Man, and Macho Man just destroyed him. It was a one-sided squash. And then it took a lot of the mystique. It's like, okay, why does DiBiase need a bodyguard? That can't even get a move in against the Macho Man, but Macho Man's still awesome. But anyway, Stephen Marchiciulli, $4.99 super chat, saying bigger bloodline pay a four play. I think he means a fatal four way with all four, or one on one, or Usos versus Roman and Solo. I think we're probably going to get all of those.
All the above. It's a D. All of the above.
What's the biggest money match? Like what? Which of those do you like headline SummerSlam with?
Yeah, the Fatal Four-Way. Yeah.
Because Solo has always been kind of like on his own, right? You have Roman and Jay and Jimmy not being on the same page, which is what they tease here. You really could do this Fatal Four-Way where it's each their own, and it could really, really be a story well told. Yeah. It will put the four-pillar storyline to shame.
And like you said, the big question mark will be Solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where does his allegiance lie, or does he go into business for himself and say, hey,
or do we get the Usos to work together? Like, there's you could do so much in this Fatal Four Way. Like, but I do think, like I said, there's so many versions of it that you could probably main event the rest of the pay-per-views for the year.
Or does Jay stay with the bloodline and you got Jimmy against Roman you know, for now, and then later Jay joins him. Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can go.
Mm-hmm.
Huffman, Elite Training, Roman and Solo, Sikoa versus Usos is now a good feud moving forward. And it's great to refresh the bloodline storyline now with a full-on feud. Agreed. This gave it a huge injection, I thought.
And it frees up Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to start elevating the tag team division again.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Marchiciulli saying, Solo has Samoa Joe vibes.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe partially, but Joe we know can talk.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I thought if Samoa Joe was pushed like how Solo it was, you know, I thought he could have been huge. But so, I mean, to WWE's, credit, I mean, or not credit, but whatever, to defend them, I guess, Samoa Joe did have a lot of injuries during his time there.
True.
All right. Thanks to, we have tons of people in the chat. Really appreciate it. David Lane saying, bring in Jacob Fatu to defeat Roman.
Ooh.
I don't know if he defeats Roman, but you could definitely add him to this.
Right.
Ronaldo S. The Boy saying, how does The Rock play into this? I don't think The Rock's wrestling again. What do you guys think?
Yeah. No, doesn't look that way. I think he's doing well right now.
Yeah, Isa.
Yeah, I mean, The Rock is obviously fierce. Roman Reigns, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
On that note.
Yeah, on that note. So a huge weekend of wrestling. What a way to kick it off. Then tomorrow night, we got NXT. And then we also have AEW Double or Nothing. Myself, Issa, will be back for tomorrow night, along with Matt Kuhn, joining him again. So that'll be fun. So join us again tomorrow night for the Wrestling Inc. podcast. And please like, subscribe, and add your comments at the bottom of this, and we'll try to answer any comments that you guys leave. We really appreciate your support, and thanks again, and thanks for listening.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.